For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast. My name is C.T. McManus, and for the next 2 hours, it is my job to take your mind off the craziness of the world out there and get it refocused in on some good old-fashioned rock and roll. We have a great show for you this evening, guys. We're going to be featuring one of the baddest local bands around. We're talking none other than February's Band of the Month, As We Become Ghosts. Guys, really excited to talk to them. They have a lot of great new stuff out, man, and we're going to be digging into that. We're going to be digging into the band's history, and we're going to be touching base on just about everything, man. We're going to be joined by the whole band. We won't be hearing from Dave until later on in the show. He, of course, is working. He works as a nurse. He's on the front lines of that COVID situation, and to talk a little bit about that COVID situation. If you guys have not heard yet, my household kind of got thrown into it. My wife is suffering from COVID, man. She's bedridden. It's been an ugly week, but we're doing our best to just keep moving on. She's getting a little bit better as time goes on. So guys, just do your best to stay safe out there. If you can get your vaccine, make sure you do so. It's not a joke, man. Any of those people out there that are telling you that COVID is just something made up, that don't pay attention to it, man, because I know it firsthand. Touching base a little bit with our sponsors and our partnerships. Right now, I'd like to bring up Rosenfeld Dental Associates, located at 1095 Inman Avenue in Edison, New Jersey. They're 5 minutes from Metro Park. You can find them at www.njsmile.com. Once again, that's www.njsmile.com. Come rock your smile with the rock doc, David Rosenfeld, nominated one of New Jersey's top dentists for 2020. Discounts apply for Rock and Roll Union members. Just make sure you tell them that CT sent you. Also, I have a big order. I'm really excited. It should be in at any moment. We've restocked brand new 2021 Rock and Roll Union t-shirts. That, of course, is from Phoenix Custom Printing. All your printing needs, whether it be for your rock and roll merchandise, for playing live out, and you got to have that merch with you. Or if you're looking to step up your family gatherings or little league teams or anything like that, you can reach out to Phoenix Custom Printing. That's 410-206-2081. Once again, that phone number is 410-206-2081. You can find them at phoenixcustominc@gmail.com. You let them know that CT and the Rock and Roll Union sent you, you'll get 20% off your total order, man. You cannot beat that. Also, the home of Pick Sticks and Laminates, my boy over at Brett Hunt Customs, guys. He has done custom picks for us. We have our Rock and Roll Union picks. We have necklaces being made as I speak. That phone number is 410-508-1233. If you're looking to give a little something special to that drummer in your life, he's got custom sticks. If you're looking to, like I did, a new form of business card, man, if you're in the music scene, really works a whole lot better than paper sometimes. Those are those picks. And if you're working and you're doing some kind of backstage pass, VIP pass, things along that lines, he's got your laminates covered too, guys. You want to make sure you reach out to Brett Hunt. It's 410-508-1233. Once again, that number is 410-508-1233. Looking forward to this evening, guys. Get our minds right for a little while. And, you know, it's been a little while. I was off last week due to impending illness coming in. But we're going to go and listen to one of the new As We Become Ghosts. This is Firefly.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Can Resume.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2.
May 15th.
Featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union House Band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at Eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, guys. As you heard in the commercial break, As We Become Ghosts is part of that big Jersey Shore Jam 2 event down in Atlantic City at Buray. May 15th, Jersey Shore Jam 2. We also have an event coming before then, if you guys missed it. We are doing a co-promotion with North Step, same venue, but about a month earlier. Rock and Roll Union and North Step Proudly present Roxy Blue. You guys are going to see a lot of good up-and-coming rock bands opening for them as well. We got Eternal Crush, we have The Goons, and we have Zenora, man. Really, really good show. But right now, it is my pleasure to bring on board to you guys. They are February's Artist of the Month for the Rock and Roll Union. This is As We Become Ghosts. Guys, how are you?
Good, man.
Hey.
Who's all there?
So we have, I believe we have everybody on the line but Dave. Unfortunately, I don't have caller ID on this system. Could you guys tell me who you are in the band and what you play and introduce yourself a little bit?
Dave is here.
Dave is here. Dave, I was told you might not be here until later on.
Yeah. It's fortunately things worked out at work where we wasn't so busy and they let me go early. And hey, I'm here on time. So Dave Wood,
great
guitar.
So Dave, you are the newest member of the band. You're the bass player. Rock and Roll Union has known you for a long time, and really excited that you hooked up with As We Become Ghosts. And you want to talk a little bit about how that came into play?
I think it was a recommendation from you. I had a couple people send me some suggestions after I was let go by my previous band, Machines of Penalty. And those guys are still awesome, by the way. They were all professional about it, and you know, it was just a difference in I don't know, it's hard to say, but it was just they're great guys. I enjoy playing the music, but it just really wasn't as cohesive on my end. They were looking for a bass player that could do a lot more than I could technically,
right.
And they replaced me with one of the great best bass players in the area, Stephen Beach. You know, he's awesome. So, but anyway, but so after that happened, it was either you or and I had a couple people instant message me saying, "Hey, these guys are looking for a bass player." So, it was back in December where I sent a instant message to Mickey and I saw their online advertisement too on Facebook, and I checked them out. I'm like, dude, you know, I all I had to do was hear the first, you know, five measures of Trapped in the Echoes, and I was like, you know what, I have to try out for this band. I mean, it's just that addicting. And you know, they say when one door closes, another opens, and this was certainly the case. You know, I had the audition in December, and then things got a little busy, and then we did a second audition pretty much as soon as the new year hit. And you know, Mick said, "Yeah, you got the gig." I was beyond elated. I made it quite known to them that, hey, I want this gig. You know, I want to be in this band, and I want to see this thing take off, because I'm in love with the music, and you know, the first love was the music, and the guys are, you know, they've accepted me as their brother. And not to get all mushy, but you know, it's definitely become a family atmosphere, and for that, I'm very appreciative and thankful.
Now, how would you say As We Become Ghosts is different than what you were used to previously, or some of the bands that you were involved in previously? Without bringing up names, what made this experience different for you?
You know, Machines of Penalty was something different, and I hadn't done any of their kind of music before that was that harder, heavier, thrashier kind of stuff, and it was fun to play, and it was a great learning experience. That being said, my heart, and even in the shows that I play with Machines of Penalty and the other bands that were playing in those shows, you know, my heart wasn't in those shows, because it was on the stage, of course, but my heart wasn't, as a fan, into those shows, because I'm not into the screamo metal,
right,
type scene. That's just, you know, nothing wrong with it if you like it. It's just not what it's not what my preference is. I'm kind of more the mainstream, in the pocket, straight up rock and roll, you know, vocals, harmonies, melodies, punchy bass lines, stuff that will, you know, put a smile on people's face. And when I heard Trapped in the Echoes for the first time, that's exactly what it did to me. And I'm like, this is awesome.
Well, I got to ask, because somebody just joined the conversation. Can I ask who was the last person to call in?
Phil Wax.
Oh, hey, Phil. How are you, man?
How you doing?
Are you sure, Phil? Are you sure it wasn't me?
Somebody just called in like this past 2 minutes.
Mate.
Wait, who was the latest?
Phil Wax.
No, not the drummer.
Area code 484.
That's me. My email even starts with 484.
All right, so let's move on to me. Who's me?
Phil Wax.
Phil.
Drums and percussion.
You've been involved in, you know, I watched this past week. You shared some of the stuff that you did previously, some of the material that you did with other bands and stuff. Same question that I asked Dave, I'm going to ask you, Phil, is what makes
I've never
this...
played with another band. AWBG is the only band I've ever played with.
What makes this experience different for you, Phil?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been in a lot of bands in my lifetime, so that last statement wasn't true. And since, professionally since 1985, and the majority of the bands I've been in until the last few years were all original bands that might have thrown in a cover here and there kind of thing. Like we do. But I never really felt I never had as much hope, I'll say, for any of those bands like I do with this band. And I never really liked the music as much as I liked the music with this band. You know, I believe in the songwriting and the lyrics because I can relate to all the lyrics that Mickey writes, you know, just because of my past experiences and some present, you know. So, yeah, I can really relate to the music. I feel it, you know, and I believe in this band 100%. And not to mention, I'm close with these guys. They're like my brothers, you know. I consider Mickey, you know, one of my very closest friends on the planet, you know.
I'm writing all these things down.
Yeah, get it down.
For my Christmas card list.
So, I got to ask, Phil. Technically speaking, is this different from what you're used to with other bands that you played with?
This is more my style. Like, it's straightforward, hard hitting, you know, without being over the top, like, you know, speed metal, you know, which I enjoy playing all that stuff too. But this is more my kind of thing as far as just heavy, you know, hard rock and stuff with lyrics that really have, like, deep, actually dark deep dark lyrics that you know also have a message of hope with them, which is cool, you know.
And
so,
I'll be honest,
I relate to this band. Yeah,
it's something that's really needed right now, man. Like I the one big thing that attracts me to your music is the message of hope that's in there, because right now with the craziness of the world and everything, everybody seems to be fighting over something that you guys keep that positivity going.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So,
especially with what's going on right now with in the world, you know.
And so I want to move on to the baby of the bunch, Alex, man. How did you get tied in with these guys? Alex, they're a little bit older than you, but dude, I got to say, I've been to your show a bunch of times, and Alex, you're dead on every time I see it, man. You're great on guitar. How did you end up getting connected with As We Become Ghosts?
Thanks. Actually, I walked into Mickey's tattoo shop one day. A friend had recommended him. And we went in there, and we were talking about what I was going to get, and he's asking if there's anything else on my arm. And so I roll up my sleeve, and I have, you know, for the majority of the upper part of my arm, I have a big tattoo brand food. And so he, you know, thought that was a little strange, and you know, asked if I was a guitar player, and yeah, I told him I've been playing for a while. And we just got into the conversation. He started showing me some of the songs that he had already written for the project, and you know, I loved them. And you know, it didn't take much time. I was over his house and starting to learn some of the songs, and ended up writing Echoes real early on with him. And yeah, the rest is kind of history.
Man, and it's an amazing thing to watch you guys. Now, going to Mickey, man. Now, would you say that you kind of channeled this whole thing together, or how did this whole band come to be?
Let's see, man. Well, first of all, the baby of the band. Hey, I'm in the studio right now. I'm just letting you guys know, baby of the band, your Hot Wheels and Legos are still all over the place. If you could please clean those up next time. No, let me say hi right now to my brothers Alex and Phil and Dave. It's awesome to have you guys all on here, you know, and us talking about this together. It's a cool thing.
Man. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Dave forgot to mention that he's also in a French horn Def Leppard
Def
tribute
Leppard
band.
Tribute.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, all the French horns, and they're going to be doing some stuff upcoming soon, so everybody be on the lookout for that. Anyways, no.
Is that the Blue Oyster Bar?
Yeah,
the Blue Oyster Bar.
Yes,
the Blue Oyster.
Woo!
That's great.
They specialize in Def Leppard songs.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so I started putting the project together a long time ago. You know, we're going back well over 3 years. And I remember, like, I just wanted a certain sound, and you know, we've talked about this before on your program that, you know, I was looking for the right members. You know, I tried out a lot of great guitar players. I tried out other drummers. I tried, you know, and you know, a few have come and gone throughout the project that were good, that just, you know, maybe didn't have enough time to commit, or you know, just whatever it was, but. We had our eyes set on Phil a long time ago, and we had sent him a message, and he was involved with quite a few bands. Hell, Phil's involved with quite a few bands right now, as a matter of fact. He's a fill-in drummer for like quite a few of some of the areas, like most great freaking bands, as a matter of fact, you know. And Phil was a little bit busy at the time. We brought somebody else aboard at the moment. Steve was in the band at the moment. Steve Kohler was in the band. He was the first on board with me a while ago. And we just kept searching for the right guy, you know, the right guitar player. And like Alex said, you know, I had many guys come in to audition, and they were monster guitar players, but they weren't right. They did not have the feel, earnestness or the realness that I was looking for, you know. And when Alex came along, the part of that story is he came into the tattoo shop, and you know, we barely even talked about a tattoo. Hell, the tattoo on his arm isn't even finished. Like we started.
They couldn't
we,
do the
we,
tattoo
we
without
music.
Parental consent.
but he listened to one of the songs, and
literally like a day or two after, he sends me a lead that he wrote for the song Overcome, and it's still the exact same lead that's in the song today. I mean, I was like, damn, that's exactly what I'm looking for, you know? As far as me, you know, you're saying that I kind of, what was the exact question that did I get this all together? How did you say that?
Were you pivotal on putting this whole thing together, or did it just kind of fall into place?
Well, yeah, I was pivotal in putting it all together, but like the right guy fell in exactly when they should have. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was the universe. That had nothing to do with me. All I had to do was sit still long enough and be patient long enough for the right guys to come along, you know? And that's what I was really, truly waiting for. And I was like, you know, I don't care if it takes forever or if the project never goes anywhere. Without the right guys, the project's going nowhere. And all the right guys finally made it here, you know, and we're welcoming Dave aboard now. And like I said, you know, I did an interview the other day, and I was talking about how we're really on top of him. He came in the audition, and he did his homework. He worked really hard. He has big shoes to fill. He was a good bass player, man, in this group, and good vocals.
And he plays French horn.
Right.
Right.
Well, and that's why. And when Dave said he played French horn, also, we were like, okay, let's give this guy a listen. No, but Dave really, really worked hard and came in here and was prepared, you know.
Yep.
The one thing about this band, I feel, to answer one of your questions from earlier about what's different about this band than other bands that we've been in or stuff like that, is like we're very, very particular and hardworking, and we don't strive just to be good enough. We don't want to write a song that's just good enough for filler to be on the B side just so we have another song in our set. We want every song to be the A side, you know, single. And we want our show to be 100% awesome. We don't want to just go out and play our songs and you hear us tuning up in between. So, like, we want to play song after song. Like, you know, when you're going to see a professional rock concert at a large stadium, we want to be that band, you know, and we want to be that on a smaller stage until we get to the bigger stage. You know, and everybody in this band right now, every member is committed to that and, like, works their asses off and does their part. You know, there's not a weak link in this chain. And that is the most important part, you know, of this brotherhood that we got. So,
yeah.
So,
you know,
talking about the discussing the songwriting a little bit, you guys are now – you guys hit 10,000 views in the first week of the run. What can you tell me about that song? I mean, I absolutely am floored by that song. I think it's – I said it online that this is the song that I believe will take you guys higher than where you are now. How did that whole song come to play?
I'll give a quick overview.
12,000 views, actually. Just about an hour ago, that song hit 12,000 views.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And not only that, a lot of the people that are viewing it, man, are hitting the subscribe button, and they're hitting likes, and they're giving us thumbs up, and they're leaving comments. We got a couple good thumbs downers too, man. We had one guy who's like he was like 90 or something like that, and he's like, maybe I'm too old, but I hate it, and you guys can do better. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, when we start writing whatever you listen to, you know, get back to us. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
we're sure that we do have a guy who plays French horn.
But the song,
I'll
The Run.
With the French horn. Oh, they're never going to let you down on this one, are they?
This is how I like to go about writing lyrics or messages. Lyrics should be, like, generic enough that everybody can get their own meaning for them. They shouldn't be so black and white that it's like, this means that, and this means that, and that's that. The Run was actually about, you know, some people that were, like, in recovery, you know, from addiction, going around to some meetings and finding a better way of life, you know, through some recovery programs. And then after they found that better way of life, decided they were going to go back out for one more run. And it's really their struggle, you know, talking to God the whole time, saying my gift of desperation isn't enough. You know, I need your help. I know we've been here before, but I need to ask again. You know, dear God, you know, like, help me, you know, save me from this run. But we don't mention really anything about drugs and alcohol in there. Alex put together that lyric video, which is pretty kick-ass. And, you know, there's only one little part in there that actually shows somebody handing somebody some drugs and then them laying on the street and stuff. But, like, we tried not to push that narrative too hard because we want people to, you know, if it's depression or it's anxiety or it's whatever they run to or run from, or we want
right.
them to be able to get their own feel for their own struggle. So.
And I got to say, I mean, hearing what you just said about that song really puts it in my heart, because my older brother kind of relapsed on drugs and that's how he ended up dying. And it's a very powerful message. And yeah, whoever put the video together, the lyric video, mad kudos to that person, man, because they really did a great job.
That's Alex,
the little boy, Alex. You know, this song, the Run, really hit home with me. I mean, before the video or anything, I mean, when I first heard the words, it touched a spot in my heart because of my, you know, I've been there many times over, you know, until 2013 when I finally surrendered to it, you know,
and
finally gave up and turned my life around. But that you know, that song, the first time I heard it, you know, I got chills. I wasn't even in the band yet when I heard that song the first time. And it really touched my heart because, you know, my life today is about, you know, trying to help the next struggling or recovering person, you know, because that's what helps me stay clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It's like you got to give it away to keep it. And seeing that video now, too, that Alex put together is just awesome. You know, he really hit the nail on the head with that one, which makes it even that much more intense for me watching the video and listening to the words. And, you know, anybody who knows me, you know, I think my kids are listening right now, actually. So, you know.
So we're going to go ahead and listen to that song now, guys. Take a quick break. We're going to listen to The Run. Here it is, guys.
Please God, help my faith in
So that was The Run. Guys, once again, kudos on the new single, man. It's great. It looks like it's going great places just in the first week. But I also wanted to touch base with you guys a little bit. Mickey, you, I know you've had your experience in the local scene for a long time. What are you seeing now out of this new, out of this, I don't want to say newer scene, but it feels like there's a resurgence going on.
Yeah, well, look, man, there's not the clubs. There's not the clubs around that there were back in the day, you know.
Right.
Back in the day when Bill and I were out there, man. You know, like, we're going back to,
Empire.
Like, 89 and 90, you know. And there was, like, Empire Rock Club and Galaxy, Bonnie's Rocks, the Pan, like,
Dobbs.
Big places, you know. And
yeah.
And people actively went out to see rock shows. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Let's forget everything that's going on with COVID and, you know, the restrictions and the limitations that are being put. You know, for the past 20 years, man, most clubs and bars, they hire tribute bands and cover bands. There's a lot
yeah.
of bands out there that do that very well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's not a very good avenue for original music. And let's take all of that aside. We're living in a digital world with, you know, with social media. And social media, you know, gets people like, I mean, we got DoorDash, man. We don't even have to go to McDonald's anymore. You know, McDonald's comes to us. And
yeah.
trying to get people to come out and invest a night into a rock show, you know what I mean, that we've spent endless hours in blood, sweat, and tears putting together is almost impossible with, like, the right swipe, left swipe, you know, mentality of the world, you know. And I'm not trying to paint everybody with a broad brush. There are, you know, some rockers out there that are, you know, are coming out and seeing these shows. But it's a very challenging thing these days how to get people to come out to the show and make the scene. Now, the biggest thing is what we need, again, in this world is live music. Nonetheless, not just even original. We need clubs and places to open up, and we need, you know, too many places are shutting down, man, you know. Timeout's going out of business. I just heard, and it's only a rumor right now, but I heard the Brighton Bar is closing up. And
yeah, I just heard that too.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of my sources, and they say that's not 100% true as of yet, but there's been talk. So, but what I'm getting at is, you know, we need places to play. You know, original rock needs places to play. You know, and there's only a handful of places right now. Bar 13, the how is it really pronounced? Is it the Bore?
Bore, the Bore.
Yeah, Bore. It's a French
yep.
term.
Yep.
Right. Well, you know, there's places like that, you know, that are, you know, doing some good stuff. You know, Stephen Weiss down there with North Step, and you're involved in, you know, some shows down there. You got Matthew Jester, who owns Bar 13, has been, you know, going strong for a long time for the original rock and roll industry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome, man, you know, like, you got lots of promoters out there, and we all know them all, you know, Brad Lee with Bradley Entertainment, you got Michael Albuquerque with Magnetar Concert Promotions, Will Mass with Rock Metal Records, you know, and promotions, Leanne McNamee, Soul Shine Entertainment, you know, there's lots of people out there that are, you know, are pushing and trying to get the original rock scene moving again, like make
mm-hmm.
a scene. And that's really important, man. You know, and I give all those guys props, those guys and gals props, because that's what we need, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big pivotal reason. This is the second year that we've done it. We're doing it the day of your show down at Bure is the luncheon. It's something that went over pretty well last year, and we're trying to add more to it this year. But the idea of getting all these like-minded people in the same location and being able to bounce things off each other and see what we can do to help each other. And I think that it's time that we kind of do that, build forces together like that.
Yeah, absolutely. More importantly, what are you actually serving at the luncheon?
It's actually each person's going to have the menu. each person's kind of responsible for their own lunch. It's just a chance to get together.
Is it the Beret menu?
Yes. So it's all New Orleans style barbecue themed.
Yeah, like Cajun stuff. They got some good food there.
All right. We see everybody down there early.
Yeah.
We had Gator last year, so Gator's definitely on their menu. We're hoping with the promoters and everyone else that's involved, the luncheon will be at 1 o'clock, and the idea is to kind of run it 1 to 4, give everybody a little break afterwards, and then come back for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
So,
that's
but yeah,
fun.
Really excited to see you guys down there. It's a early evening. As far as shows are concerned, I know you guys were at Bar 13 not too long ago. Anything else coming up?
Yeah. Anybody want to take those, or you want me to grab them?
What, the other shows?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
I can
name a couple. I'm not sure where every one of them is, but I know.
I got this. Right,
you want to hear? All right, we got Bar 13 on April 17th. We got the May 15th down at the Beret. We got June 5th at halftime in Newark, Delaware, and then we have July 24th. Where's that, Nick?
I would have to check the notes on those two.
Is that Milo's? Milo's Meeting House, that one?
I don't know if that's going to be Milo's. We had a list of a bunch of shows that we were going to be doing through Soulshine, but we're trying to figure out, you know, where sometimes the clubs are to be announced. So we'll have to get back up on those two events.
And then August 7th, we have somewhere too.
Yeah, that's also on the Soulshine Productions.
Yeah,
I have written down, they're not on my notes in front of me.
Okay.
The only two that I have in front of me is the Saturday, April 17th at Bar 13, and that's Roxy Blue, national act coming through from Nashville. His headline in that. They're one of Brad Lee's bands. I think Brad Lee's managing them at the moment. That's going to be with Ghost of the Mill. That's going to be with Zenora, fucking awesome dudes. Whiskey Grin, another group of fucking awesome dudes. And, of course, the As We Become Ghost guys are going to be there. And so that's
they got
the
dude with the French horn.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. And then we have the May 15th show down there with Shades of Grey and Rat Rod. Isn't David coming up from Tonal Crush to do like a little bit of an acoustic thing maybe?
Yeah, David is starting. He's got a new outfit together that he's calling Black Rose Rebellion. And what's really interesting about Black Rose Rebellion is there's a female front to the band, but not just that. His wife plays drums for the band.
Yeah, his wife plays drums.
He's kind of like in the middle of that sandwich.
Yeah, it's funny.
So
you need to.
It's going to be great, man. That'll be they're kicking it off with I believe two acoustic songs, but then their first gig together will be July 31st at my birthday bash in Bar 13. And great to see you guys are playing different venues, man. With halftime, the stage at halftime is fantastic.
Yeah, just played it last weekend. Huge date. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great
show. Now, as far as you mentioned some of the bands that you guys are involved with, are there certain bands that you guys like to be on the same bill as, or certain bands that you guys kind of befriended in the middle of all this?
Yeah.
There's quite a few of them, Ben, but Zenora, we really love those guys. We'd love to go on like a tour with those guys, you know what I mean? Get along with them. They are kick-ass dudes. Young. They got the show. They got the tunes. They got the the energy, man. They're just a really kick-ass band. They got it all going on. Whiskey Grin is always a bunch of fun dudes to be around and play with, man, and just great guys. You know that. But.
And the number one thing I could say for Zenora is they're humble as well. They're not full of themselves.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
They're great. That's the other thing, you know. Like, the humbleness that I see in those guys, you know, we share that. You know, we don't care about all the little details. It's like, you know, we need this spot, and we got to do this. And we just want to show up, and we want to play, and we want to get along with everybody, you know, and just that's what we're all about, man. We just want to go out and play and share our music with the world, you know, and we don't have a bunch of that ego and that attitude going on, and we see that in Zenora as well, and we love that about them.
Absolutely. Now, touching base, I just wanted to bring up one more song for you guys that I want to play, because it just seems to be one of those songs that kind of connects the entire band. I heard you guys mention it a couple times earlier. Trapped in the Echoes, could you give me a little bit of the behind the scenes on that one?
Go ahead, Mick.
You want to jump in there, Alex?
Yeah, all right.
Yes. All
right.
I think that one was kind of an accident. I was going over to Mickey's, I think, to learn maybe Butterfly State or one of the other songs that he had already written before, you know, the band kind of came together. And I remember messing around with the riff like the night before just a little bit. And so I was just tuning up and kind of playing it, and he noticed it, and he was asking, you know, what's that? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I just kind of came up with it last night messing around. And, like, I think I had, you know, maybe part of the chorus or something, too. And
you had a good bit. You pretty much had all the parts there, you know.
Yeah.
It came together. I just remember saying, screw it, man. We're working on your tune.
Yeah. So how about the words, the lyrics?
Well,
I think that's what we're getting at here.
Yeah. Now, so Alex really had, you know, pretty much all the music down. Every once in a while, we all come in with cool riffs, you know what I mean? And Alex and I have been writing a lot more together. You know, we co-wrote Firefly together. You know, we have a lot of songs that we're trying to get down to, getting working on right now. And but this particular riff, I was just like, man, it sounds comfortable. It feels like home. You know what I mean? Like something about that riff. And I said, do you have anything more? And he said, yeah, well, this is what I was thinking for like maybe the pre-chorus or the chorus. And he pretty much had all the music, you know, elements there for a great song. And I pretty much had ideas and melodies in my head immediately. And Trapped in the Echoes just kept coming through my head. Again, you know, the lyrical content for Trapped in the Echoes is like, you know, the older we get sometimes, we kind of get stuck and what's going on in life and everything else. And we always just remember, like, all that stuff when we were growing up, and we always remember all the good times, you know. And being young and just, like, having all these dreams and making all your plans for life and staying out all night and just talking about it underneath the stars and, you know, stuff like that. And then, like, you know, and then your life gets different than that, you know. And so it's being stuck sometimes, you know what I mean, and just, like, living in the echoes, the you know, just the memories of the past.
Yeah.
You know, when, like, you know, when really there's some poetry to that. It's about, like, you know, we can live in the here and now, man. We really can, you know. It's like the message is about not really being trapped in the echoes, if you understand what I'm saying. You know?
Right, right.
So it's just
here, it is, guys, here is Trapped in the Echoes.
We'll be right back. This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union house band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists, and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Since 2012, HIAC Talk Radio has been bringing you the best of independent wrestling and wrestling on the worldwide scale with interviews and other segments, now featuring The Wrestling Historian with Craig Ligon every Thursday night at 6 p.m. at VOCNation.com, or go to your Android or iPhone and type in VOC Nation Radio Network and subscribe to the greatest wrestling podcast network in the world. Listen to HIAC Wrestling Podcast today.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right, so we are back with As We Become Ghosts, guys. Thank you so much for being with us again. And, so, guys, I got to ask, for anyone that wants to find your music, find your pages, as far as social media, music is concerned, any kind of merch, how do they go about doing that?
Alex? Yeah, we got, we're on Facebook. Search up on Facebook. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and we do have a website now, asyoubecomeghost.com. We're our music's also on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, any of the main streaming
iTunes.
Websites. Yep.
Awesome. So what's next for you guys? What are we looking at? Any forthcoming singles? Or I know you guys have been in the studio very busy. What's coming next?
Yeah, you kind of let one out of the bag, by the way, because we weren't releasing Firefly for about another month. LOL.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what we're doing right now is we're shooting an actual live performance video for the song Firefly. I have to say it
like
that.
Yeah, you said it right.
Fuck my
foyer.
Yeah, toy or fly. And so that's the next one we're going to be dropping. We have two more that we have been recording over at the studio. So we're trying to do like every at least maybe once a month to every 2 months in that kind of time period, do a new drop of a new song with something like a lyric video and or a video for it, you know. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And then we are going to get really, really strong back here in our secret lair where we rehearse mm-hmm. and get right, because we got some tunes that we need to get written. So
once you guys have released things for a little while, are you looking at putting it all together on like a like one whole album?
Yeah, we're doing a six song EP at first. We feel like maybe like, you know, a full length album. You know, people again in this world where they left right and right right. What the hell is going on? Is somebody eating potato chips?
Sorry, I'm cleaning up my Legos.
Put it on. Yeah, cleaning up his Legos.
Yeah. So we're taking six song EP, you know what I mean? Keep their interest. And then we'll do another six song EP. Who knows?
Man.
Yeah.
So my last question for you guys is, once all the precautions, once COVID's finally behind us, what is your ultimate goal at this point?
Go ahead, everybody.
Tour,
yeah. Sky's the limit.
Tour, and it'd be a dream. You know, touring itself would be, this is Dave, by the way, touring itself would be a dream come true in itself. But if you know, the seas parted and if we got the rays of any kind of higher power upon us, you know, it would be awesome to, you know, get some income from this and, you know, say this is our professional career. You know, I would love to quit my day job to say, hey, I've quit my day job because I'm going to be a rock star. You know, that it's a dream. I'll never let it go.
Yeah, Dave's never been on tour before.
Yeah, I've been with, not on the tour, no, the local shows. And then, of course, my previous cover band, but that was never a tour. That's, you know, I played out, but never on tour. But that'd be the dream come true.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, it would be really, really awesome, you know, to tour around and play some big shows at some great places and share our music with the world. You know, that would be the ultimate goal. I think that's the ultimate goal for anybody who puts their heart and soul into an original project. Because it's a labor of love, man. You know, I mean, you barely ever even make a dime off of making a record anymore, you know? And but even if it just came to the point that we created together an amazing album that will be here long after we're gone, and we got it into the hands of people, and we went out and we rocked them and melted faces at every show that we even the smallest of any of those shows, I would be completely happy and content with that by the end of it all, because the passion from every member of this band, we leave it on that stage every time, and that's the most important thing. But touring would be amazing, man. It'd be a cool thing.
Plus, it helps when Mickey is threatening us in the studio with his belt and yelling at us to make sure we do good. So.
Yeah, Daddy Mickey's over here right now cleaning up fucking Legos and Xbox.
But I'm gonna add this. You know, as a guy that
does that have anything to do with Def Leppard?
No, not at all. I don't say
thank God.
But what I will say is, what's different about this band for me is the leadership of this band. I haven't had a leader like Mick, and Mick doesn't like to say the leader role, but he is what he is. And he keeps us in line and he keeps us focused, and he he does a boatload of work for this band. And I can't thank him enough. And as the new guy in the band, you know, I want to be involved, and I want to take some of that burden off of him, because there's a lot. And, you know,
yeah,
I want to help.
Everybody's been chipping in with all that stuff, you know. Alex has been doing all of our social media stuff. Phil, you know, has been no more than 10 minutes late every rehearsal.
hey, but he put his best foot forward every time.
Hey, I'm just talking to you. Phil is always on the scene and always always making contact and dropping stuff this way and making sure this project moves forward. The recording studio that we're recording at, you know, it was because Phil dropped that name of that guy, and it turned out to be the best thing that could have ever happened to this band as far as recording went, you know. Dave has put his heart and soul in this. Coming to the band, you know, he's like, what happened to PA over here? You know, it's like everybody's, you know, doing their part, and everybody's trying to do as much as they can to make sure that this is, like, the biggest, strongest project we can have, man. So it's really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being with us tonight, man. I want to wish all you guys a happy Easter for tomorrow. And, man, you know, like, I can't wait for May 15th when you guys are gracing the stage for the Union. But I'm sure I'll be seeing you April 17th before that. So.
Yeah.
Hey, awesome. I want a little shout-out to my daughter, Tristan, and Cassidy, if she's listening. I think Tristan's on there listening. Hopefully we get them out to some shows, too. Cass has been out to see the band, and hopefully Tristan will be out in a couple weeks.
Cool.
But thanks, CT. And I wanted to say, Dave, you know, what you were saying about Mickey, you know, being the leader and everything, he really is. And I just thought maybe you should get his name tattooed right under Joe Elliott on your arm.
Oh.
I had to. All right, I'm done. I couldn't let that one go, man. Anyway, yeah, it's all fun.
I can't crack the foot joke. Mick, beat me to it.
All right, hey, I love all
you
knuckleheads.
So you have a great Easter, all you guys, you and your families, and we'll be talking soon.
Thanks.
All right, later.
Have a great night, guys.
See
you. You too.
See ya.
So there was As We Become Ghosts, guys. A lot of good stuff coming up from them, guys. If you want to see them, the next time that I know of is April 17th. We'll be partying it up at Bar 13 for the lovely Dee's birthday. Hopefully she's, I have all faith that she will be over the COVID and past all that stuff by then. Guys, I want to wish all you guys a happy Easter, you and your family. We're kind of postponing the holiday until after the wifey feels better, but make you guys spend amazing time with family tomorrow, amazing time with friends and whatever you guys are doing. We have a great show scheduled for next week. We have the smash up artist, Bill McClintock, man. I'm a huge fan, really looking forward to talking to him next week. And then for a second interview, well, not even a second interview, I believe the third time on the show, we're going to have Mark Knight of Mark Knight and the Unsung Heroes and of Bang Tango. So, guys, until next time, man, I'm a little just want to say my happiest of Easters. May you guys all be blessed tomorrow. And until next time, guys. Remember, rock and roll. Have a good week.